Galatians chapter 5. Glad to see you. Glad you're in the house of God this evening. As we look in the Word of God in Galatians chapter 5. As you're turning in your Bible, the theme of this chapter is the difference that Christ makes. And the more we get into this chapter, the more we see that truth being just shown to us plain as day. The key verse of this chapter is verse 7, where he said, "You did run well. Who did hinder you?" Who did hinder you? It says that you should not obey the truth. There's several things out there that will try to hinder you, but you got to overcome them things. And in Christ Jesus our Lord, we've been made more than conquerors.
Right.
And more than conquerors over those very things it's referred to. Now, as we look tonight, there's 26 verses, 447 words, all inspired by God, preserved forever in our King James Bible. This chapter is a 3.2 grade level chapter, which lets me know God really wants us to understand that Christ makes a difference in our lives. And as we get into this chapter, we see the freedom of salvation being discussed in verses 1 through 12. Tonight, we're going to pick up in verse 5. He says, "For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." As we look at this, these two verses of Scripture tonight, I want to take the time to preach to you tonight on when God is working. When God is working. I've heard people get up and say, "Well, when God's working, you'll know it. You always do. You can tell. And if you can't tell then, just look back on that time and you can tell God was working."
Right.
But in particular, about the difference that Christ makes, we see when God is working through verse 5 and 6. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we look at this. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We pray, God, that you'll move and do a great work in our hearts tonight. Help us, Lord God, to take in the great things of Scripture according to Psalm 119, verse 18. "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And I pray, God, right now, God, that you'll touch us, God, that you'll give us that understanding we need. I pray, God, you'd touch me and help me to preach tonight according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. And God, that you'd just be with us and help us. And Lord, we thank you in advance for everything you're going to do for us. In Jesus' precious name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look tonight in the Word of God, we see the when God is working, being our title we're working with tonight, there are two actions that show up and that show when God is working. And the first action we see is in verse 5, and that action is the hope of righteousness. And he spells it out by saying, "For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." That hope of righteousness is intended for a certain people. And that people is the we that is found in verse number 5. I guess we are the we people he's talking about.
Come on.
Little us, big him. Amen.
Right.
And as we think about we being the people, that is saved people that he's talking to in these churches. It's saved people by grace through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. It's saved people that's been born again by the power of the Spirit of God. It's saved people that God granted repentance according to the acknowledging of the truth. It's saved people that God himself has touched. It's those saved people that God has sent the promise to and the hope of righteousness. And that hope of righteousness is a future action to come in which God is going to peel back the curtains, send his son Jesus through there to rapture his church, take us out of the way, deal with Israel for 7 years, and then he's going to return back in the clouds and bring us back with him. I noticed that we, the people, in verse number 5 is not dealing with the Jew. It's dealing with the church. And if there's Jews in the church, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. They're all in Christ Jesus now. But one day God's going to take the church out of here and deal with Israel again. And to deny that is to deny the Bible. Because the Word of God's too plain about it, and the heretics are too against it. I noticed that we see the hope of righteousness. We see there is a people and there is a path. He didn't say we was going to do it by the Spirit. He didn't say we was going to do it with the Spirit. He said we're going to do it through the Spirit of God. And that word through is referring to continuing time towards completion, literally, of a process or a period of time. That period of time that we're looking to complete, and that process we're looking to complete, the period of time is this. The time He saved us until the time we die, we have the hope of righteousness headed our way. From the time we get born again until we either meet the undertaker or the upper taker, listen, that's referring to that process right there. It's through the Spirit of God. We're not going with Him by our side. No, we're going through Him. He's in us and we're in Him, and that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we've got Him marking His territory by the seal of the Holy Spirit of God on our never-dying soul, letting us know that He's going to do it through His power. We're continuing time towards the completion of a process, and that process is sanctification. There's that immediate sanctification when you get saved, where God sets you apart as saved. And then there's that progressive sanctification where God's working you into the image of Christ Jesus, and you're predestinated to be conformed to that image according to Romans chapter 8. I'm glad, thank God, that when He saves a sinner, He saves that sinner and He starts working on him until the day of redemption, and He gives us something called grace that works that thing, and He does it through the Spirit of God, not by Him. He puts you through the thing. Say, so what's the difference? If you take something, I know some of you are fine connoisseurs and fine cooks, and you probably don't do this, but I like microwave food. I can cook anything in the microwave. You give me a set of bifocals and a set of directions and something frozen in a microwave, and I'm a master chef. I'll flip that thing over and find that thing. I when it says conventional oven, I ignore that. Nobody uses them anymore. That's where you hide your Christmas presents at, man. You put that thing away, don't even worry about that. Go down to where it says microwave instructions. And you go down there and it says this, precisely, heat 3 minutes on a microwave safe plate. I found out the hard way what that last part meant. It don't mean styrofoam ever. Never. So what you do is, you get some of your fine china. It's made by Dixie, a good southern company.
Amen.
And you put your frozen objects or object on there, and you put him in there, punch the 3 button. Listen, the microwave's even so intelligent, you tell it 3, it automatically knows 3 minutes. Back when I was coming along, you had to type 300 time cook, temperature. Now you just hit 3, and that's it. You put that thing in there and hit that button 3, and all of a sudden, there's a process that takes place. I don't cook it beside the microwave. I don't cook it above the microwave. And I'm glad that microwave don't cook it beside it while it's in there. It cooks it through it.
Yep.
This book is intended to be what God uses in your life. And the Bible said that the Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then in verse 17 of 1 Timothy chapter 3, that the man of God may be throughly furnished unto all good works.
Right.
Who's that through? The Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
Because He's in every word, and once He gets in every word and He gets in you, He starts working in you and He cooks you from the inside out. That's the process He's referring to, where God does a work like that. That's the path God uses, and wait, there's more. He says, by the Holy Spirit, that's the person. See, the Holy Spirit's not the force. May the force be with you. It's not the mythical God that people think, where God's in all the trees and leaves and in the air. That's a false God. This is the Holy Spirit. He's the person of God, just like the Father's the person of God, just like the Son's the person of God. They're not three gods, it's one God. You try to explain that thing, you'll lose your mind. You deny it, you'll lose your soul. It's God, the Holy Spirit. I see it says right there, it says, we through the Spirit, He says we do one thing with that thing, and it's what we do with that person. Wait. We through the Spirit, we just wait. Say, what are we waiting on? We're waiting, we're delaying action until a particular time has come. And that time, listen, if we would learn this, boy, we'd be so on fire for God. We could bring revival to this church. We could bring revival to this county if we'd do one thing. Wait.
Yeah.
Just wait. Say, what does that mean? We do nothing? No, you wait and move when He moves. A lot of people misinterpret the word wait. They just do nothing. We're experts at it. We've done nothing for so long, we look like we've been waiting on Him for years. We ain't waiting on Him. We're just lazy and don't do nothing. The wait He's referring to is you wait and let the Holy Spirit move. For instance, when I was growing up, I knew this. There were some people in my life, just like me, that were lost. And people would come up to them and tell them what a heathen they was. And they was heathens. They was sinners that looked like beyond hope. And these people would come up and say this, these magical words that has won so many to Christ. You ready for these words? You need to get in church. I'm praying for you. I seen that in the 70s on TV. It said Hulk smash right after it said it the most of the times. That ain't how we get the job done.
Right.
I've watched some of my friends over the years be people talk to them like that, and they died and went to hell. You need to go to church. I'm going to pray for you. Please pray I don't become like you. I'm mean enough on my own without having to add to that thing right there. I'm praying for you. I did find this out, though, when he said wait for the Spirit there, I found this out. We'd back up and say, you know what, God, I'll move on that person and talk to him when you want me to. He'll open up the door right when they're under conviction, and God will slide right in there and do a work in their lives.
Yes,
just waiting on the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I've heard of this restoration movement going around. That's where they want to restore all these fallen brethren. And we're going to go out and we're going to find the people inside church. We're going to go to them in the spirit of restoration and going to restore them. If they'd wait for the promise of the Spirit of God, He'd move on in people. And when they got there, He'd slide in as the comforter, as they come in as the conviction, and God would get them people back. But we never want to wait on God. We just keep running ahead of Him. You know why? We ain't got as many attendance as that church down the road. We got to get them people back in here.
Come on.
Hey, let's have a homecoming. They'll all come and eat. I know they will. Them, the cockroaches, and every other Baptist ain't got nowhere to go that day. Listen to me, friend. We're talking something trying to help you tonight.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, the hope of righteousness is contained in a person and it's contained in a word. Wait, you let Him do it.
Right.
I found this out. Some people leave these churches for a reason. They never belonged to them to start with. They don't need some restoration. They need some redemption.
Yeah.
They don't need some upslide. They never have upslid before.
Come on.
They need God's dealing with them, not our dealing with them.
That's right.
There is a person, and God also has a plan in verse 5. He says, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope, it says, of righteousness by faith. The hope of righteousness by faith. He said the hope, not hopes for. It indicates that hope is already there. That hope is the hope of the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hold your place here. Turn two pages over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, look down at verse number 18. This is the hope of His calling. The hope of His calling. He says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. I see in verse 18 there that goes along with the hope of righteousness by faith, that the hope is of the calling of God. You know what we need more of? We need more of God-called Christians than we do self-called Christians.
Yeah.
We need more Messiah-called Christians than Mama-called Christians. We need more that's called by our daddy in heaven than our daddy here on earth, what we need. And what we'd have is, He said, the eyes of your understanding, it says, being enlightened, that ye may know.
Yeah.
See that thing? That you may know what? What is the hope of His calling? Listen. The majority of people that I know and that you know, and maybe you like this, we want somebody to get saved that's in our life because they're a jerk to us. We don't want them to go to heaven. We just want to be nice to us and act right. I know many a parent I've talked to that wants their kids to get saved because they give them such a hard time. They don't want them not to go to hell. They just want to quit giving them all that problem.
Right.
I sympathize with you. But I'll tell you how to prevent that thing if you want to know. If you'll take care of it while it's this tall, it'll be okay when it gets this tall.
Right.
Problem is, in America, we don't raise children no more. We let them raise themselves.
Right.
And we marvel at the monsters they grow up into.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they'd take them from you. They probably need to if you ain't going to take care of them.
Mom.
Well, I give them everything. That's the problem.
Mom.
You ever heard somebody being spoiled before? Do you ever really know what that means? You hear it, you think they've been given everything they want. That's not what spoiled means. Spoiled means if you've got a thing of milk and it goes past the expiration date, it'll finally turn into something that's either good to help out a disease or to choke somebody with, one or the other.
Well,
it's spoiled. It's ruined. It's past its use. When we see a child that's spoiled, it's been given everything. Now it's spoiled. It's no longer good. It's ruined. It's past its use. That's what spoiled means.
Well,
listen to me. I see plainly he talks about the hope of his calling. We spoiled Christians by telling them, honey, it's all that matters. You got saved. That's not all that matters.
Right.
We've got to do what God tells us to do with a Christian. Are you ready for this? From the words of Jesus Christ, teach all nations.
Amen.
Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Teach all nations. What are we to teach them? Whatever God says in this book, I think.
Right.
I'm pretty sure that's what He wants us to do. He's wanting us to teach people to read the Bible. He's wanting to teach us to teach people they need to come to church even on Wednesday night and Sunday night. He's
right.
wanting us to teach people that they need to come to Sunday school.
Right.
He's wanting us to teach people they need to come be instructed in the Word of God. And you men have absolutely no choice to lay out because I'm the men's teacher.
Mom.
Amen. Good teaching, brother. Good teaching tonight. Amen. You preaching it now, Dr. Little. I heard it. Amen. Now, let me tell you something. I look in the Word of God and I see there's a hope of calling when you get saved. That hope of righteousness has a hope of calling. And when God gives you that thing, may He give you eyes of understanding just to understand the thing. Look over the next couple books over Colossians chapter 1. We're talking about the hope of righteousness. He says in Colossians chapter 1... if you look down at verse 23, that hope, listen, that hope of righteousness has the hope of His calling. And in verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, that's where you get taught. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. That's the whole entire book of Galatians he's warning them about right there. Which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. We got the hope of righteousness, the hope of His calling, and the hope of the gospel. And because we've got that hope, listen, with that hope of righteousness extends out to that thing, and now we've got some things joining in with it. We've got a calling where God called you to be saved. He called you out of the world to be saved. And He gives you the hope of the gospel to go with it. So you can go out and call others and tell them of the good news that God still saves sinners.
Yeah.
Look back over in Galatians chapter 5. Boy, these things will take on a new life when you look at them through the Spirit of God and let Him do it through you. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. That's the first action. And then we see the second action. He says, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. He not only has the action of the hope of righteousness, which is a current and future hope, but there's also that goes with that the hold of righteousness. That's an action that only God can do. See, when we get saved, it wasn't us that was looking for God. If we had known where He's at, we'd have ran. From the beginning of time, when sin burst into this world, God walked through the garden and said, where art thou? He knew where they was at.
Mm-hmm.
We're hidden because we saw you coming. Mm-hmm. We're naked and we hid ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd have known where He's at, heard Him calling you to hid yourself. But I know this. Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. That's us. And because we're lost, He came looking for us. And when He came looking for us, He came looking for us where the lost people are. He found us. He drawed us to Christ. We heard the preaching of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit dealt with us. And being granted repentance from God Almighty, we come to Him as sinners, undone and unclean.
Yeah.
He said, I take you. The world's used you up, I take you. The devil will throw you away, but I'll take you. And we got saved, and we didn't get a hold of God that day. Thank God He got a hold of us.
Right.
So what did He get a hold of you with? Righteousness.
Yeah.
Remember, you didn't have none before He come in. Now He's got the hold of righteousness on you.
Right.
And we think about that, the writings of the law do not hold us, because in the economy of life in which Jesus Christ inaugurates us into His Word that brings the conviction that changes our lives, it's not you that's holding on to Him for that, it's Him that's holding on to you.
Right.
So why you make a big deal about it? Same reason they make a big deal about inaugurating a president, because there's the beginning of something fixing to happen and everybody needs to know. That's why when you get saved, it's an inauguration into the family of God. You tell everybody about it. You say, hey, listen, I've been elected. Thank God. Listen to this. I've been elected. Who chose you? God before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
So how did you know about it? Somebody told me.
Yeah.
Somebody else told me. That's how I found out about it.
Amen.
Amen. Listen to me. God Almighty cast the deciding vote on you.
Yeah.
Amen.
And listen, He got a hold on you. You didn't get a hold on Him. And now the writings of the law is not what holds you. It's God Almighty that holds you. In the economy of life which He provides, it is Him that brings the confidence that goes that He can still hold on to you. I might forget one day who I am. Most days I'd like to. Every time I go to the mailbox and pull the bills out, I say, boy, I wish I didn't know this guy. He sure owes a lot of people money, right? You probably feel the same way. If the mailman forgot your address, you'd pay him to think about it for a day or two. But listen to this. I know this. When it comes to Him and what He provides in confidence, I have no confidence in what I've done keeps me saved, because I know what I really do.
Yeah.
And anybody who thinks they can keep themselves in Christ Jesus, you are as deceived as a person as you've ever met.
Yeah.
Because you don't hold yourself, He holds you.
That's right.
The Bible didn't say if you're in His hand, you're holding on to His hand and He's holding on to yours. Yep. It said, no, you're in His hand, He's holding you.
Right.
So I'll jump out, where are you going to go?
Come on.
If you're in His hand, that means you can't get out.
Sure.
Didn't say it, listen. It didn't say He just had a hold on you, it said you was in His hand. So how I can get out? Well, let's see. If we go over to Isaiah over there, the prophet, he describes the hand of God as being, he measures the universe with the span of His hand. And the way they measure a span, they'd go out there and he'd say, all right, I want you to cut me a board over here. Make it one, two, make it three spans. That's how big on the board cut. He'd bring the board cut. It'd either be this too much short or this much too long. And so I told you a span, right? And they said, yeah, and their hands are bigger than his or smaller. God, when He was doing the universe, didn't holler somebody cut a board for Him. He said, let me measure this out before we do it.
Yeah.
Make the universe this big.
Yeah.
That's how big God's hand is. Do you know where earth fits in that in God's hand? If we could take a pen and make a wee tiny little dot right there, that'd be the galaxy known as the Milky Way.
Yeah.
And if we looked inside that Milky Way, we'd be a little dot called planet Earth in there. And on planet Earth, you'd be a little dot on planet Earth. Where are you going to go to?
Right.
Where are you going to jump? You going to jump out? Where are you going to jump into? Going to jump to Mars?
Come on.
Remember, that's inside here too.
Yeah.
Once He's got you, He's got you.
That's right.
And listen, knowing that He's got us, that's the hold of righteousness. The writings of the law don't hold us, and the warnings of the law has never stopped us.
Sure.
Do you think for a minute if God said in His Word, if you'll do this, you'll stay saved? How many of you stay saved? Zero. Because that rebellious flesh that you've been walking around in, that glorified meat soup that keeps dying and decaying, every time you can, you sin.
Yep.
And here's the shocker. You usually do that sin that you say, oh, the lost. If that man done that, he's lost if he does that. You do it too. What's that called? It's called Romans chapter 2, verse 16, football religion. Accusing one, pointing this way while excusing another one. And usually that's pointing at you. Sometimes it's your buddies, but sometimes both, you know, accusing one while excusing another. And while we're doing that thing right there, we've got football religion that's pointed on sides and we throw it on the ground. There's no telling where it bounced to next.
Right.
You ever wonder why churches have so many people that don't, they have a role now called the inactive role? Well, if they check that thing out, half of them's dead, half of them's missing because they in another church somewhere and forgot to, quote, send for a letter. Or they left their church man and went to home joined by statement of faith or something like that. You bunch of devils, get right with God and quit hopping churches.
Amen.
Lord God, have mercy, but give me a pastor with a backbone.
Yeah.
That'll say, no, I ain't going to do all that. I ain't participating in your sin.
Amen.
Lay hands suddenly on no man.
Right.
You don't understand, preacher, what they did to me. I understand perfectly. Now go get right with God and them and do something about it.
Yeah.
I look at this thing about the hold of righteousness. The warning of the law has never stopped us. And the Master is the only one that holds us. I got to looking at something today. If you'll hold your place here, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. I found out about this hold today. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, down at verse 3, he says this. This is this thing here. He says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. The Master's the one who's doing the holding.
Yeah.
It's Him. And I see that He talks about your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say that thing was in them people at Thessalonica. He said it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the Master's the only one that holds us, we're being held by somebody that's reliable. And I can also say this, the Master is the only one that'll put up with you. If you had to stay right with people or yourself, even for instance, for a day, you'd find out that you hate you more than everybody else does that you claim hates you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I found out something here. We get to looking at the words of the Bible, and they certain words will go interchangeable with others. Some don't. And when we get to looking at certain things, I found out something, that the hold of righteousness comes through the charity of God. That's God giving out love when He don't have to, and He gives it out to a place that can't make it itself. So He gives that thing out there, and charity defined is always God's love in action. That can be said this way. If we take the word charity and say Christ every time in 1 Corinthians 13, it'll pan the thing out beautifully. Look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not Jesus Christ, charity, God's love in action, that's Jesus Christ. I'm not correcting the Bible by any means. I'm just showing you what charity is.
Right.
Charity's not given to people that won't work.
Right.
I didn't say can't work, won't work.
Right.
Different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this. He said, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy. Ooh, turn into our new TV show, Prophecy Today, with Dr. Smellfungus and his wide-bottom supporters. We're going to be here today and we're going to talk about the end times. Send us money because we're going to talk about the end times. Ain't too much to talk about. It's right here at us. That's like going to the Super Bowl and getting a ticket, walking in there watching the game being played and paying somebody beside you to tell you how the game's going.
Yeah.
Look at this. And understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not Jesus Christ, charity, God's love in action, I am nothing. See how that thing works out? So what are we doing? We're interpreting the Scriptures with the Scriptures.
Right.
Listen, when He says God so loved the world, how did He do that? Through Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's charity. That's God's love in action. This is charity. God's love in action. Look at this thing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to burn and have not charity, Jesus Christ, God's love in action, it profiteth me what? Let's interpret Scripture as Scripture. Without me, you can do nothing. John 15:5.
Right.
Verse 4. This is where God puts up with you. Now we're going to take charity and say Jesus Christ. This verse, watch this. Jesus Christ suffereth long. So how do you know? I was 24 years old when I got saved.
Uh-huh.
He put up with me that long.
Yeah.
I'm 47 now. Whatever 47 minus 24 is, what would that be? 23? Am I close? Okay, so that means for 23 years since then, He's been putting up with me.
Come on.
Oh, you thought He was okay after you got saved? No, He hadn't put up with me after I got saved.
Yeah.
And He knew what I was going to be after I got saved, and I didn't even have a clue.
Right.
He said, charity suffers long and is kind. Charity, Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's love and action, it says, envieth not.
Yeah.
God's not jealous of other gods. He's not jealous of what they got, and you shouldn't be either.
Right.
If you've got Jesus Christ, you've got God's best no matter where you're at.
That's right.
Look at this. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Listen to this. Jesus Christ vaunteth not itself. Love in action vaunteth not itself. I don't have to promote now. I've been promoted.
Right.
Now think about this. I've joked for years that we do drug tests down here on all the paid staff. And then one day I went to the doctor and found out he'd been doing a drug test the whole time. I didn't know. But I passed every one. At the end of the day, I passed. I used to couldn't say that. I'm telling you not the truth that God did.
Yeah.
And when I found out he'd been doing that, I said, why have you been doing this? I just want to make sure you're what you said you were. I've read the tracts. I've heard the testimony. Are you real? My goodness. Boy, ain't that a kick in the head right there. They just don't believe you anymore. They look around you to see what's standing behind you, see what's behind the man behind the curtain and all that. But I see here that if I'm not vaunting myself, I thought the other day, I don't believe in Congress giving themselves raises, nor do I believe if somebody's a CEO they could give themselves a raise by no means. But I decided one day that there's going to be some promotions around here. And since I was the only paid staff member, I was going to promote me. Instead of being the very bottom rung of the ladder, I'd be the next to the bottom rung of the ladder. And then one day I found that position was too high up, so I promoted me down back to the floor where I really belong. You don't have to promote yourself. God will take care of that.
Right.
If you own a job somewhere working and God wants you promoted, they'll promote you.
Right.
It don't matter who's in front of you and what their resume looks like. If God intends for you to step up, you'll step up. If He don't intend for you to step up, you might have a case of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9, where God's laying a thorn in the flesh to keep you humble, where He can keep using
right.
you where you at.
Right.
I see there in that verse, he says that it doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but it rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Jesus never faileth. Amen.
Amen.
Charity, that love in action, John 3:16, never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is done in part, that which is in part shall be done away. Wait a minute. He can't be talking about Jesus because Jesus had already come by then. There must be something else perfect showed up. I know what it was. John said amen on Revelation 22, and God said that which is perfect is come.
Right.
So how do you know that? Because that's when all the tongue flapping ceased in the first century when this book was done.
Amen.
He said in that verse, he said that which is the perfect is come, that which is part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then, face to face, for he says, now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's love in action, that word charity right there. These three, but the greatest of these is charity.
Right.
I see there's that hope of righteousness that when you get saved, you know God's not done. And listen, he's coming to either take you out by the uppertaker or undertaker, but that second action where he's got the hold of righteousness, that thing's immediate.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you a question tonight. When is God working? Has he got the hold of righteousness on you? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking.